WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The change's coming. He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinions.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious fixin' right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome everyone to the Rack. Shut up, Rock.
Bingo.
Don't laugh at me already. I just started. Anyway, welcome everyone. This is the Rack, and this is Jackie. Totally forgetting that it's my week to host. And with me is Sorokin and Lindsay Ward. Hello. How are you two?
Yay! I'm not the only one that missed my cue.
So if we were playing Tim Stein Bingo, that's B 5.
No, yeah. That's if we were playing Jackie Feist Bingo, it would be B5.
Okay. Making sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit distracted, but despite the fact that I just totally flubbed that, we actually do have quite a few things that we want to talk about. One thing that I just wanted to point out real quick, though, is despite my tired mood that I'm in today, I am actually very happy because thank you to Brock, who brought my attention to the fact that if you heard the opening where Paul Bearer was screaming, Kane is coming, that's going to be me in a few months.
You lucky bitch.
And it's not going to be because Kane and I are going to be alone in a hotel room together and I'm going to be screaming, he's coming. The WWE.
After you get pictures.
The WWE is again coming back to the El Paso County Coliseum, meaning that I am going to be again going to the show, and I'm very, very hopeful to not be going alone, and we're going to see how that works out in the next week. But yeah, last time, for any of you, Rock, were we doing the show the last time I went to a live event here in El Paso?
In El Paso? No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay, well, for those of you, since many of you probably didn't know of me at the time, the last time I went to a show was pretty legendary. I came back with over 200 pictures.
Now, yes, you did. And video.
Video. Now, to be completely honest, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that off again, because last time I went to a show, I did not go alone. That's why I had over 200 pictures, because there were two cameras. But I'm definitely going to go. I'm definitely going to pull a Ron Paul event thing again and try to videotape the entirety of Kane's match if I can get away with it, if the fucking security people will not be on my ass. But yeah, I'm very happy. And so when you hear that Kane was raped at a live event somewhere in Texas, you'll know exactly where and who and why.
So once this live event takes place, we're going to, you know, that Sunday on Wrestle Talk Radio, we will hear that a restraining order has been filed against one Jackie Feist on behalf of Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane.
You'll just hear the squee, because it will be almost as loud as the squee of the collective Cena fangirls over
yes.
Today's news involving him. That fucker actually woke me up.
Do we want to go ahead and just talk about that a little bit?
Might as well. Might as well get this.
Okay. Well, it seems like Jersey Girl knows. So we'll just tell for everyone else The man that is John Cena, it has been announced today by a newspaper in his hometown and picked up by TMZ that he is getting a divorce. Why couldn't it be Kane?
Because we're not that lucky. That's why. Why couldn't it have been Taker? Again, we're not that lucky.
But yes, so for all of the fangirls, as Lindsay said, from 16 to 60, all over the WWE Universe, today gave a collective squee as we learned that there is no more Mrs. Cena.
Well,
he's going to be single.
He's going to be single, but the time frame on that is unknown, seeing as Mrs. Cena has retained a lawyer, a damn good lawyer, and is fighting, apparently, a pre-standing prenuptial agreement.
Yes.
That's in place.
Mrs. Cena has acquired the same lawyer that took Hulk Hogan to the cleaners.
Well, it took him to the cleaners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
They raped Hogan out of his money.
Yeah, I'm tired. But fortunately for Cena, he got a prenup. So we'll see how that goes. It's not a guarantee that he's going to walk away with everything, but it certainly doesn't hurt him. And one of the things that I found really interesting about this prenup was not only does it assist in you know, as in the case with most prenups, that he's going to walk away with at minimum everything that he had when he went into the marriage and they were married in 2009. He has the right to take back from her any presents, gifts, or the like that he's purchased for her over the years.
Yeah, I read that too. I found that extremely interesting. It's crappy and it's kind of dickish, but I could get why, especially seeing as they put his net worth at around $18 million.
Right.
Which is pretty nice. I can see why he would do that, but so maybe that's why she retained the lawyers to at least keep everything he has given her, because basically he can take her to court and clean her out, which would again be dickish.
Right.
But that's his option.
Yeah. Which is one of those things kind of where it's like when you look at it, at least when I look at it, my thing is, I understand the need for a prenuptial agreement. I understand that John Cena was advised by his lawyers to take out a prenuptial agreement to protect himself from getting fleeced. I really do understand that. But also, it's like, gosh, I mean, imagine, Lindsay, you're going to get married to the man of your dreams, to Taker or Kane or whomever, and you're number one, not only asked to sign a prenuptial agreement, but it states in there that basically anything he gives you, he can take back.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree to that. I'm not that stupid.
That's just like, I don't know. I mean, that's either John Cena being a dick or his lawyer being really overprotective. I mean, what's the point of marrying someone? I get the prenup, but just to say, yeah, anything that I give you, I can take back, which just seems very, like, what's the point of even showing any kind of affection if it can be taken back?
You know who else did that? Henry VIII. Just saying. Not only did he take everything he gave back, he also took people's heads.
Just saying.
But what I'm more interested in is how this plays out, because you know it's going to be public, you know it's going to be nasty, and what, depending on what happens, is will John Cena's good guy image live through this? What damage is going to be done? Because depending on how big of an asshole he is about this whole situation determines how he comes out looking. Because if he walks in there and, yeah, he can enforce the prenup, but if he takes back everything he's ever given her and basically, because I don't know how much she's going to get in the prenup, I would assume she gets some financial compensation or she gets property or something along those lines. But, you know, if he doesn't even do that, that's going to be pretty asshole-ish of him.
Yeah. That's one thing that I think his wife and her lawyer are going to be banking on is the fact that they have basically his reputation in their hands. If they ask for something and the lawyer shoots them down, they're going to make him to look like a huge asshole in public. And he's just the most evil son of a bitch ever. But I kind of understand where Cena's come from. I mean, my last boyfriend, dude, and Lindsay, I know you know the story. I lent him $1,000 to help him pay his bills after he lost his income. And then he dumped me saying I was a gold digger. If I could, and I've still not got that money back. years asshole. Later after we've broken. Right. So if I could use the law to maybe get that money back from him that I am legitimately owed, then yeah, could I, I'd definitely consider it, but we're on Cena's case here. We're not talking about $1,000. We're talking about thousands of dollars. So
at this point, possibly even millions of dollars.
Right.
Depending on what she gets done. I mean, I don't, he doesn't strike me as the type of person that he would completely, totally fuck her over, but I don't think he's going to let her take him to the cleaners either.
Right.
You know, if I can imagine her probably going for the house, going for financial compensation, and going for maybe cars or, you know, because I'm sure he's bought her cars, he's bought her clothes, he's bought her numerous things. So, yeah, I can picture her trying to keep everything she's been given in the marriage and possibly getting the house and enough to sustain the house.
We'll see, and that's the other thing. I don't know about you, I don't know about Rock or anyone in the chat room, but I personally have no idea what Liz Cena does for a living. So
I don't think she does anything.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like one of the biggest bullshit things that some women pull in divorce. I should say men too, but I primarily hear it coming from women in divorce that, oh, he should have to give me X amount of money in alimony because I've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. No. No, I am sorry. I don't care how many years you've been married. If you guys are separated and you're going your separate ways and getting divorced, I do not believe that one spouse has to give the other one any amount of money to keep anyone in a lifestyle. That's so stupid. And if she pulls that kind of stuff, it's going to make her look bad. And they're both going to look like shit by the time this is over, basically. I guess it's just how much is the female fangirls of the C Nation willing to stand behind their man. Because he already kind of looks bad. That thing about his prenup saying he can give back any gifts kind of makes him look bad already.
Yeah, and Rock just posted something in our production chat that, you know, basically Cena blindsided her with the filing. She's saying that they've had issues, and John approached her with a pre-divorce financial settlement to which she refused, and that she wants the relationship to work out. I'm sure she does, but at the same time, he's never home.
Right. And she's going to, and I just would also imagine that she's going to say that her lawyer's going to have her say, or make it look like she said that she's the perfect little doting wife that never did anything wrong, never made any mistakes. And he's just being an asshole. You and I had a discussion privately just about the role that some wrestlers' wives play in their life and what they do. And primarily it came down to kind of maintaining home while they're out on the road, how many days a week. There was that thing with his roof not getting fixed. The bills were, you know, some things were not getting paid. Maybe that was malicious. Maybe they were having problems and she deliberately didn't pay it. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, I have to feel for her, and I have to feel for any woman married to a professional wrestler, especially on that level, just because, yeah, the financial benefits are great, but your husband is never home, or I should say your spouse is never home, because, you know, for a man or a woman married to somebody in the WWE, they're gone 300 days a year. So you're left at home to take care of the house. If you have kids, the kids, you know, everything, and they come in and out every so often, and it's, you know, this is going to be a bad comparison, but I would almost compare it to them being in the military.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Where they're gone pretty much constantly, and it's, you have to take care of everything. So I can't imagine for her that it's been easy, especially with his schedule, because you figure he's gone quite a bit with all, not only his travel schedule for WWE, but also for all his commitments that he does for charity.
Right.
You know, all the Make-A-Wish and Be a Star and all that stuff.
Right. Well, Lindsay, you and I know a few professional wrestlers, and we know of one specifically that's literally only home 2 days a week.
If that.
And that's a hard life to lead. It's really hard because we don't know any details yet. And I say yet because you know there's going to be some mudslinging, and you know that you know they're going to be throwing around stories about how much one is just the most horrible thing on two legs and blah blah blah, and it's going to get pretty nasty. But yeah, Cena's going to be fine no matter what.
Well, if they go after him publicly, at least as far as his image goes, I see the WWE stepping in mm-hmm. and shutting them the hell up, because not only will Cena take a hit, but Vince McMahon will take a hit, and he's not about to let Cena be injured publicly like that, especially given the good guy image that they've given him over the years.
Right. Right.
I'm more interested to see, granted, just based on the details right now that are coming out, if there isn't someone else.
Oh, God.
If he hasn't met someone else on the road and he prefers to be with them rather than his wife, if there wasn't someone else for her, I mean, we don't know what all is going on, what the exact cause was, because he said it was irrevocably broken, I believe, is what he termed the marriage.
Right. Yeah, and that's very likely. I mean, that's kind of one of the... what are the chances that you take when you marry someone who is away from you 3 to 5 days a week? And let's face it, the WWE superstars are in a position where, you know, they could have basically just about any woman they wanted at any time. Like, I would be very happy at just about any point in time to take Glenn Jacobs off Crystal Jacobs' hands. Just saying.
No.
We know.
So there's Cena fangirls out there that are as bad, if not worse, if you can imagine, than me. So there's always that temptation.
Like I said, they were squeeing on Twitter, which is kind of sad. It was trending. It was. I feel bad for him just because, like I posted on Twitter, divorce is hard enough, especially when it's going to be a very nasty divorce like this one probably will be. But then on top of it, you're a world-famous celebrity and you have every woman that's a fan of yours from ages 16 to 60 stalking you, trying to be your next wife. I mean, good God. That's going to suck.
Yeah. I think Lindsay and I are the only two female WWE fans on the planet that don't give two shits about the fact that John Cena is going to be single again.
Yeah, because I don't stand a shot in hell with him. I don't want him either. I've seen him. I mean, I've seen those pictures of him up close. He's good looking in the face, in the body, not so much. Sorry. He's just too veiny and, yeah. But, yeah. I'm sorry. It's true.
He's not a libertarian, so I can't do that.
He's not. We don't know whether he's a libertarian or not. He's never come out on his political beliefs, but, yeah, I don't stand a shot with him anyway. I'm not, you know, I'm not that good looking, at least in my opinion.
Oh, God. Lindsay.
In comparison to the chicks that he probably could get, I'm not that good looking. Okay?
So it's going to be definitely interesting. Yeah, I gotta agree with you. The WWE is gonna step in. If for some reason whatever lawyer John Cena personally takes is not able to protect him, WWE will step in and provide something that will definitely do the job. I think the most John Cena really stands to lose is he's just gonna be embarrassed a little bit. He's not gonna lose too much. And I just kind of feel bad for him because I know the only thing he's gonna end up, you know, getting is a little leg on his face.
They will provide him with David Otunga as his defense lawyer.
Oh, God. Yeah, John Cena, you're screwed. Just saying.
Actually, Otunga's undefeated, so he very well probably could win the case, but I don't think Otunga is a divorce lawyer.
Oh, shucks. Sorry, Cena.
Cena, this is going to sound really, really mean, and forgive me and send me to the small pygmies in South Africa or whatever it is that Larry the Cable Guy says, but...
New game.
Just go get Taker's divorce lawyer.
And whatever you do, don't get Ric Flair's.
Yeah, don't get Ric Flair's. Go get Taker's.
Okay, so before we move on to the next subject, let's take a poll. Start with Rock, and then we'll go to Lindsay. How long is this going to take, you think?
What, divorce?
Yeah.
6 months.
Lindsay?
Yeah, probably 6 to 8 months.
Okay, I'm going to go with, yeah, I'm going to have to agree. Well, since one's going 6 months and one's going 8 months, I'll go with seven. I think it's going to be about that time, about that much time, and we'll see.
So you're playing Price is Right rules where you get in the middle of both of us?
I didn't say $1.
She basically did the dollar bid. That's what she did.
Well, I was going to say 6 months first, damn it.
I was going to say 6 months, and he got it. I mean, it's just, she's going to fight it. I don't know how hard she's going to fight it. It could be they turn around tomorrow and come up with a settlement, and that's it. It's over. I just don't picture that. If she retained the guy that took Hulk Hogan to the cleaners, and everyone is saying, like, they even quoted it in the Miami Herald, which is where I saw the story. They quoted that this is going to be very, very, very bad. This is going to be a nasty divorce. So she could easily drag this out depending on her financial situation, because I don't know what hers is. I know what his is. He's got the money and the resources to drag this out for eternity if he wants to. I don't know about her.
Well, see, that's the reason why I, for 2 seconds, do not buy the whole, oh, I'm so devastated that my husband is leaving me, blah, 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 blah. I mean, because if she really loved him, don't get me wrong, I'm sure she'd be very devastated by the fact that the man she's in love with is trying to leave her. But if you really love someone, you're not going to deliberately drag their name through the mud on purpose. And the lawyer made it quite clear that's what's going to happen.
Well, that could be the lawyer. That couldn't be her. I mean, that may not be her. It could be, but it may not. That could be the lawyer being an asshole about it. But little known fact, I don't know. I don't know why I know this, but John Cena was actually engaged before. He was engaged to, I believe it was Mickie James, or he was dating her and getting serious and potentially talking marriage. I forget which. Back in 08 or 09, whenever they were working together, that's when they were dating. And he was
getting serious. Oh, wow, and they married in 09.
Well, and he was getting serious about Mickey, and then she ended up fucking around with him with CM Punk.
Oh, God.
Is the rumor, and then Cena turns around and marries this chick, I think a little bit less than a year later or something like that, so... And, I mean, they quote as saying that, you know, they've been best friends since high school, which I don't doubt, and that they've known each other all these years, but, you know, either they've dated off and on, or she was the rebound.
Exactly. So she shouldn't be surprised.
But, yeah, I'm sorry to see that they're getting a divorce. It sucks. It's never easy for anybody. I want to know what she does, Jersey, that she's making $250,000 a year. I really want to know.
Yeah, and to back up your claims, according to sources within WWE, this was an article on June 5th, 2008. John Cena and Mickie James are actually a real-life couple that have been going out for a few months. The two were happy keeping the relationship low-key, but Vince decided to do a storyline involving the two when he found out.
Yeah, and then she cheated on him, and the relationship ended. And then her push ended. Surprise, surprise.
Shocker.
So, just saying.
Shocker! So, yeah, I just... and then he ends up with this chick and ends up getting married in 09. So she was probably the rebound, and Cena just had it set in his mind. He was getting ready to get married, because they got married, and then he went right back to work, didn't he? I don't even think he got a honeymoon.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So she probably really shouldn't be all that surprised.
But yeah, anyway, we got off on a weird tangent, but I say 6 to 7 months, but it depends on her financial resources and what she's going to get at the end. Because if she doesn't take the prenup, then I don't think he's obligated to pay her anything, is he?
I don't know. I'm not a divorce attorney.
Yeah.
I don't play
well, it depends on the details of the prenup, but I'll say this. If it's worked into the prenup that he can give her back any gifts that he bought her, then that son of a bitch has got to be pretty strict.
She probably gets a lump sum, and that'll be about it.
Well, like you posted in the production chat, the interesting thing is he offered to buy her out. before the divorce. So he tried to circumvent the prenup. He tried basically tried to buy her out and say, okay, I'll pay you X amount of money for a divorce. And she denied it.
Yeah, so I figure either he was trying to get out of the prenup or he was trying to prevent there from being a nasty public scene.
I'm guessing he was trying to prevent the nasty public scene. Okay. He was trying to prevent her from going to the press and this getting out and doing damage. Because, you know, it's everyone else, whenever most other wrestlers get divorced, short of Ric Flair, you don't really hear about it. You know, when Taker divorced Sarah, nobody knew. That one was kept extremely quiet and extremely down low. This one, I think Cena tried to do the same thing, and he failed.
Still wish it could have been Kane.
Yeah.
and no. He glazes right over it.
No, I was going to change the subject a little bit. As one marriage ends, one begins tonight, apparently. Gail Kim, former WWE diva and current TNA Knockout champion, gets married tonight.
Oh, good
congratulations
for her.
To her.
To, what was this dude's name?
Robert Irvine, I think.
Apparently they were getting married this evening. So congratulations to them.
Yay.
So, you know,
yay!
A negative and a positive. It all evens out in the world of wrestling.
Yay.
So how
best
long do we
luck to you in your future endeavors.
So how long do we give them?
well, let's see. It's a celebrity marriage. So are we doing it by the Kim Kardashian basis, or are we just doing it by standard celebrity marriage?
I thought we were going by the Britney Spears basis.
Ooh. I give it probably at least a year.
I'll give it 3.
Yeah, I'll go with 5.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to go 2.
She's not on the road as much.
She's not on the road as much, but he is. Because I think he's still doing... He's not doing Dinner Impossible. He's doing Restaurant Impossible? Isn't he?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I don't follow him. I just know it was on the sheets that tonight she was getting married. So, congratulations to the two of them.
Yes, the happy couple.
Yes.
Live long and prosper.
Oh, God.
And pop out many kids.
Well, now that we've dissected the John Cena situation a bit, what do you say we go to break?
Works for me.
Okay, well, I am Jackie, that is Lindsay, and this is Rock, and this is The Rack, and we'll be right back right after this.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh, hey,
fuck you. And fuck you. And fuck you. Hold on, let's turn them off. It's Rock. It's 1. Fuck you. Will. That's 2. Fuck you. Tim. Fuck you. Omega. Fuck you. Lindsay. Fuck you. Jackie. Fuck you. And Subway. Fuck you.
Really fucked. Can I now have our kittens and give one to Jackie, please?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you.
It's basically descended into like a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast.
Like all of a sudden it popped up and here's the whole gang and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega as he is... One told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
People always ask me why they should listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, and Lindsay and I are here to tell you why.
You need to listen for the smart, intelligent, and insightful comments from the end-all be-all of the Wild Talk Radio Network, the one, the only, the Omega.
Oh God, did he tell you to say that?
Well, of course. It was part of his dictation.
Oh, God, Lindsay.
What? I can't help that he gives good dictation, and you know what happens if I don't take it just right.
Anyway, you need to listen to Omega and everyone else on Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Plus, Omega looks really good in a Wonder Bra.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey! You go! Bye-bye.
The cult of personality.
And welcome back, everyone, to Correct on Wild Talk Radio. This is Jackie, Lindsay, and Rock. And we are here to talk about now other things going on in the wrestling world besides just John Cena's unfortunate divorce. And I think we're probably going to start with what was the squee of the wrestling world before that announcement.
Hold on. You mean that we're going to be like 20 minutes away from seeing the crowning of the first ever Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Commonwealth Champion? Is that what we're going to be talking about right here, right now on the rack? Come on, please.
No. But if you want to hear all about Canadian All-Pro, tune into Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Sunday nights. Whatever time it comes on, 8 p.m., I can't remember.
10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Sunday night, this Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern after the TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah, see, I can never remember what time you guys come on, so. Yeah
I'm on.
Anyway.
Remember either. So
but we can't talk about shucks. I'll just wait for the updates on Facebook.
We'll yeah, you know what? Talk to Tim Stein. Bug Tim Stein on Twitter. He will tell you all about it.
He's posting it on Facebook, so follow him on Facebook. So there's your shill, Tim, even though you're not listening to this and never hear this. I give you a shill.
Okay. Okay, so as I was saying before, that really strange little thing happened there. Probably the biggest squee from WWE fans, especially the internet wrestling community, in the past 6 months. Happened this last week on Raw. Paul Heyman returned to WWE.
ECW, ECW.
And there was an ECW chant. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rock is from Philadelphia and is pretty much a hardcore ECW mark.
Wait, I'm from Philadelphia? Over, that's right. Yeah, I am.
Did you forget?
Are you done?
I'm in a mood. I'm in a good mood. Leave me alone.
Yeah, the last time we were in a mood, Lindsay was saying all kinds of weird stuff, and then I told you I was in a mood. I'm in a weird mood, so now it's Rock's turn to be in a weird mood. But yes, Paul Heyman returned to WWE and will be on TV through the summer to help push the angles as it relates to Brock Lesnar and most likely his match with Triple H that is believed to be happening at SummerSlam. And so it's a pretty safe bet to say there was a lot of fanboy squeeing going on Monday.
Everywhere except in North Carolina.
And we're going to get into that. But Rock, tell us how happy you were when he came back.
It was awesome. he glues you to a television. If you look at Paul Heyman as a promo person, and then you look at everybody else they have doing promos that has some sort of power in WWE, there's kind of a big of a difference. Paul Heyman's good. Everyone else stinks.
Yeah, Paul Heyman, I'll give him that. He's got an intensity that is unmatched.
Everything he says sounds important.
Paul Heyman has a way of telling a story just with how he cuts a promo that sucks you in and draws you in, especially when it comes to Brock Lesnar. I mean, it's just, he is the perfect manager for Brock Lesnar just because he pulls off that slimy, slippery, snake oil salesman, dickish role so well.
He does.
He does. He's one of the best, and that's one reason why, in my opinion, he was one of the best co-commentary people the JR ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you heard, it was great. And I think one of the things that made it awesome also was the fact that they were able to keep it under wraps. Only to have, I don't know if you'd say spoil it, but only to have CM Punk break it on Twitter 5 minutes before he was scheduled to come out.
But you know what? There's nothing really wrong with that.
Oh no, I love the way they did it.
I mean, it's just because that got the internet buzzing. It got the IWC buzzing. That had to be a drop.
Yeah, that was a drop.
You know, I'm sure CM Punk was waiting to do that all day. And he was teasing it kind of all day.
Yeah.
And
then I love finally, things people don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, he posted a picture of Paul Heyman, you know, 2 minutes before he walked out. And Rock and I were IMing each other back and forth going, oh my god, this better be true. This better be what we think it is. And the second Paul Heyman walked out, it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus, they listened to the IWC.
Right, and it was like, the only downside to it was like, okay, we know he's coming, and then they do a video package. God damn it, you're making us wait.
Well, here's I don't have any complaints about the fact that he returned. I don't. But one thing that I want to call BS on is the WWE has always kind of, at least in my opinion, to a certain extent, turned its nose up at the IWC. You know, we just think we know everything, and we don't know anything about wrestling and blah, blah, blah. But they'll run to us real quick when there's something like that they want broken. They like us then. They just don't like us any other time.
Because it's Twitter.
It's
their thing. It's Twitter. It's Facebook. It's trending. It's what's liked and all that stuff. It's the now. They didn't actually tell us. Oh, it was on Twitter. CM Punk put it on Twitter.
Kind of a difference.
There's a little bit of a difference there. It's not them putting it out there. It's CM. They had the wrestler put it out there instead of
I don't think that CM Punk did that without somebody knowing that he was going to do it. I'm thinking he was told to do that.
I completely agree. And they did the same thing with Brock Lesnar. They put it out there 2-3 minutes before he showed up on TV. Oh, look who it is! It's look who just came into the building. It's Brock Lesnar. They showed a promo picture from 2003. Couldn't take a real shot because they have an award-winning photography department or something. I don't know. I don't think it's award-winning, but, you know, to get my point.
Right.
Everyone has a camera. You could have taken a quick shot of him and tweeted it out to people instead of throwing out a promo picture from 2003.
Right. So, but it was really good to see him. There's no one that can cut a promo quite like he can. He's been missed. And even though, and I'm going to trust Rock to give you some of the details of his return because Rock probably knows them a little bit better than I do. But there's a lot of people out there that I bet you are hoping and wishing and praying that he'll stay a bit longer.
Yeah, everyone hopes he'll stick around until Brock Lesnar's done with WWE. But as of now, it's still SummerSlam. But then again, everything can be worked out and all that stuff. Once they figure out what exactly they need from him, he'll be around. Because he's only a phone call away, apparently.
Yeah, from what I understand, Heyman came back to work with people he likes to work with. So he's working with Lesnar. I would be interested to see if he works with CM Punk in any capacity because the two are great friends. If he does anything with Daniel Bryan, I mean, Heyman is back because he wants to be back. That and Vince backed the dump truck full of money up to his house and said, "Here you go, come back."
Right.
But Heyman's there in a limited capacity, but oh, thank you God, at least he's back. You know, at least Brock Lesnar has a mouthpiece and they don't have to waste the dates that they have for Brock Lesnar completely. And they don't have to negotiate more. This allows them a little bit more flexibility with Brock.
Right.
And also, we just get to hear Heyman cut a promo.
And I have to tell you, thank God that Heyman is back, because I was not looking forward to however many appearances of Brock Smash 10-minute promos. So thank you, God, for Paul Heyman. And I think that this will be really, really interesting. I mean, I'm probably not as excited as Rock is, but I'm happy. I mean, I've always loved managers. I always feel like that they have a special place in wrestling, and for some reason WWE's been ignoring them. I don't think he has a traditional manager role here, but he'll be damn better than any other manager they've got right now.
I'm curious to see where they go with him, and I'm curious to see where they go with Brock, because again, one of our biggest gripes is what they did at Extreme Rules, where they job Brock out to Cena. Cena went into business with himself, supposedly cut the promo that may or may not have made it to air, or shouldn't, I should say. God, I can't talk, I'm too tired. Shouldn't have made it to air. And then you have the whole thing on Monday night where Brock beats the crap out of Triple H, which there were really no repercussions for that. And then, other than Brock quit, with Heyman making that announcement on Monday. So, from what I've heard, they're going to essentially play out a worked version of the Brock lawsuit from, I think, 03. Where they're going to sue him, you know, on TV for breach of contract and all that good happy crap.
Right. And it'll be interesting because the promo after Raw, Heyman goes, Brock's owed money. He's owed millions. So it's going to be interesting. They have Heyman, and knowing WWE, they'll screw it up. But they have Heyman in their control now. They have him on their television sets every other week, every week, whatever you want to call it.
If they're smart, which they're not,
well,
they will let Heyman book this.
Well, they won't.
Yes.
They won't.
They won't, but they
I
should.
I agree, they should.
Heyman, they should hand this storyline over to Heyman and let him book this. Because say what you want about Paul Heyman, the man is a fucking genius when it comes to creative. When it comes to booking, he can do it. Just give him control and let him go forward, and he will give you magic. He's the, as I said last night on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, he's the only person that made the Alliance storyline make any sense. The only reason, I swear to God, the only reason Brock essentially got over was because of Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
So, well, this is where we clearly say that Paul Heyman equals logic.
Yes, Paul Heyman equals logic. Paul Heyman equals God.
Oh, gosh.
Just don't give him the financial purse strings. Other than that,
We're good.
I mean, Paul Heyman is the kind of guy that he inspired his workers that they would
kill each other, basically.
But yeah, basically almost kill each other for nothing. There are guys who went on record saying they wish they could have stayed in ECW because they couldn't afford to stay. That's the only reason they left, was because there was no money, but others would have stayed and they would have, I mean, capable of his heater room, get them around them and they will support him no matter what. So it's, yeah. It's like, yay.
So, yeah, it's great. My honest to God hope is I agree with you guys that this is not going to be any kind of a long-term arrangement. He's gonna come and he's gonna do his thing with Brock and then he's gonna go. My hope is though, is that he will teach the people who were there something about, you know, how you do this, how you go out there, one single solitary man, and go out there and rev up an audience like no one else can. and how a well-utilized manager can make a someone like Brock Lesnar, who doesn't have the greatest mic skills, who probably isn't a brain surgeon, I'm sorry, but go out, you know, and sell him to and make him the youngest champion in WWE history. These are some things that I think some people in WWE need to learn.
Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. They're going to put a muzzle on Paul Heyman backstage, and he is going to be involved in a very limited capacity. They've got Paul Heyman, and they've got him under their control to a certain extent. So, you know, we all know the infamous story that Stephanie McMahon cannot stand the sight of Paul Heyman. And I am sure she's less than thrilled that he's back.
But the positive on that is, she's not on the road.
Yeah, she's not on the road, so that probably is how that one went down. But I'm sure if she was there, she would not be happy. But that being said, she's not about to let him back in creative.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. And if anything, and, you know, I'm a mark for Stephanie, and, you know, I don't like the thought of her working with someone she doesn't have to, but Vince taught Stephanie a lesson that she mentioned in a magazine once that says, in order to make it in this business, you have to learn to eat shit and like it. And
yeah.
Vince has learned over the years that sometimes you have to put your personal beliefs and feelings aside to do what's best for business. And in this case, this may just be one of those times when Stephanie has to just bite the bullet and deal with it. But it seems to be a lesson that, based on what Vince has said, that she's going to have to learn at one point or another.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't argue for one second that I'm sure Vince didn't want Heyman back either, just because they all pinned, I think it was One Night Stand, no, December to Dismember or something like that, on Heyman and the poor buys, and that's basically what got Heyman out. And I know that there was bad blood there and all that stuff, but, you know, it's Vince had to swallow his pride and bring back Heyman, because Heyman is what's good for business, especially when it comes to Brock.
Yeah.
All right, and I don't know when we were talking about this. I can't remember. I think it might have been on the show or after the show or something about the ratings. Whether that segment would lose ratings or gain ratings. He actually gained 123,000 viewers in a dead spot.
Yep.
With no promotion. Except for a 3-minute ahead of time photo posted by CM Punk on Twitter.
You're right. While the rest of the show, there weren't really many peaks on the show. He was one of them, even though they were the highest rated cable program on TV this week for Monday
night.
Which
is sad.
They were the highest, and they were below average. So that goes to show you that even when you're below average, you're still the top rated cable show out there. They did good. They did some good numbers with Paul Heyman, and now you're going to tell people Paul Heyman's back, and there might be traction. Who knows?
Yeah, it's now that Paul Heyman is back, we know he's back, and it's not a one-off. That's the whole thing, as we were speculating on Monday, was that, is this a one-off or is he back for the duration? And it looks like right now he's at least back until SummerSlam. Whether that continues on after that, I don't know. Right now I think everything's up in the air with Brock, and they just don't know what they're going to do. Other than, oh yeah, we're going to play out the 2003 lawsuit, which I hope to God doesn't mean that Mommy Rena is going to show up.
Oh God. Please no. Please no.
But, yeah, so we'll see where they take this. I don't know yet. I'm willing to give it a chance just because they did make a smart move in bringing Heyman, but they also did a stupid move at Extreme Rules and afterwards, in my opinion. And they're doing an even stupider move at Over the Limit. But we'll get into that later.
Okay, so let's close out the Heyman conversation by asking a question like we did with the Cena one. Brock, if WWE was to keep Paul Heyman on post-SummerSlam, even post-Brock Lesnar, who do you think he should manage or work with or whatever?
He should just stick with Brock and... let's see. I'm trying to think of anyone else on the roster who could use Paul Heyman.
Ryback? That's what I'm thinking.
But that's too much like Brock. I
Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan doesn't need the promo guy.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan is a promo guy. I don't think that he would need a manager.
Sheamus?
Sheamus would be a good one. If John Morrison was still around, I would say him.
Barrett?
Barrett, yeah, that could work. Even though Pat Barrett's kind of strong on the mic, I could see that working.
I just kind of see Heyman being... Heyman has always done really well with the hard-nosed style people. Someone that would have been in ECW if ECW had not folded.
I could see that.
Can we just put him back on commentary and replace Michael Cole, please?
Oh, God, that would be wonderful.
Pretty please with sugar on top.
Okay, so next we want to just talk about something kind of small, move to something a little small, because we're going to talk about CM Punk on Twitter, but that's kind of a big thing. So let's just move to one little thing to get it out of the way. Since we were talking about SummerSlam, there has been some shakings on the internet that at SummerSlam we could see a match between the Straight Edge One himself, CM Punk, versus Lord Tensai.
God help us all. God help us all. Fitz McMahon, you're on crack.
Here's my... Oh, well, Lindsay, what do you think?
I think it's stupid. By the way, thank you, Taker, for bringing Matt Bloom back.
No, here... Okay, here's my thing. I don't have a problem with Matt Bloom. I don't even so much have a problem with the character of Lord Tensai, but I don't like the way they're doing it. And I don't see Tensai getting anywhere near over between now and SummerSlam to deserve a spot on the main event against someone with the magnitude of CM Punk at an event like SummerSlam. I mean, people just are not buying this gimmick. They're taking away Albert signs at live events and TV shows and pay-per-views. There are constantly Albert chants when he wrestles, and no one, and this may just be my opinion, and feel free to disagree with me, but I don't think anyone's taking him that seriously that anyone's going to pay money to watch him wrestle CM Punk at SummerSlam.
No. Plus, it's too soon. It's way too soon. He just debuted after WrestleMania. So, you're going to have him in the main event against your champion, potentially. You know, or at least a former champion, if nothing else, what, less than 6 months after he came in? When all he's been working is squash matches?
Yeah, but, that's my thing.
But he's being John Cena and CM Punk.
Oh,
with
God
an
sake.
Assist? Yeah. I mean, it's just, to me, it's too soon, and also, I have to agree with Jackie. The Tensai character is not working the way it is now, and part of that is they're not developing the character. They're not providing any explanation as to, you know, why Tensai has become what he has become, essentially. They're not developing the character. It's just basically, he's a monster heel character that's going to squash everybody, and the part of the problem is that is they have three of those right now. Or they have three monster squash characters.
Yeah, Ryback, Tensai, and Bros Clay, yeah.
Yeah. You know, two heels and a face. So it's just hard to buy Tensai when you have two other guys doing the Goldberg gimmick, basically. And it's, you know, at this point, they're developing Brodus Clay, and they're doing a little bit more with him, but we're starting to see his limitations in the ring. He's not that strong of a worker. He's great with the kids. It's a great gimmick. It will probably sell a shit ton of merchandise when they get it out there. But he's not the strongest wrestler, which is fine.
You know, there's a lot of those if you look through WWE history.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. You know, Matt Bloom, I will give him credit, okay? When they put him against Alex Riley, that match was the drizzling shits. That was one of the worst pieces of crap I've ever seen in my life. As he's gone on and as he's moved up in the roster, he has improved. The matches have gotten better, but I look at Matt Bloom and I look at the way that he wrestles, and it's just still not that strong to me. I don't know why, but he strikes me as sloppy.
Yeah, it's just not, when he has nothing but squash matches, I mean, because the thing about, people, squash matches are exactly that. They're squash matches. you're sent in knowing this person's going to win. So we've never really seen anything from Lord Tensai. We've seen nothing from him. And since we're supposed to believe that he's a different person now than he was when he was last in WWE, we don't even take that time into consideration. So it's just kind of like, basically, he's been around for how many months now? We've seen nothing from him. And I remember reading when he came on after he first debuted on Monday Night Raw that he was going to be a stooge for Laurinaitis. So things are going exactly down the line the way they're supposed to be going. I'm just not buying it. And if Lord Tensai versus CM Punk is all the WWE has to try to convince me to buy SummerSlam, then I'm afraid I'm not going to be buying it because I don't take Lord Tensai that seriously because you have given me no reason to.
Yeah, they need to... basically make an explanation, as I said, develop the character further. You've got him on TV. You've established he's a monster. If you want to stop the chant, well, you may not be able to stop the chants, but if you want to stop people thinking he's Albert, explain what happened that made him become Lord Tensai. Explain why he went from Albert to Tensai. Just do that little bit of explanation. And I think that would help him immensely, because right now it's, oh yeah, he went over to Japan for 8 years, he adapted to the lifestyle, and now he's Lord Tensai.
Let me ask you both this question. Say he's doing the gimmick he's doing now with the, you know, the walk, and the moveset, and the mist, and everything like that, but he was called Albert. Would that get over?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think this gimmick is not working. And again, every time I criticize Lord Tensai, I say this just because I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. I applaud and appreciate from the bottom of my heart WWE's attempt to start making gimmick characters again. They've not done that in a long time, and I think WWE has benefited a lot from it when it worked. Best example, Goldust. There was a huge chance taken there. Same thing with Mankind. Huge chance taken with these characters. But in these two cases, they got over, and they did very well. It's just not getting over this time because there's nothing to Lord Tensai. He's just a great big fat guy who went to Japan and became a good wrestler and then came back over here. There's been a lot of people who have come to Japan and come back over here. That's not a gimmick.
You mean like Johnny Laurinaitis?
That's why
we're not going there.
Wait, what? Okay, anyway. But let's go. You brought up Goldust. How long did... Do you remember how long it actually took Goldust to get over?
Oh, no, to be honest, because that was a long, long time ago. But I remember it didn't take him too long with the gimmick that he had to get people to stand up and take notice. Now, I think it had a hard time... I would suggest, based on history, that it had a really hard time getting over it first. That's probably why they brought in Terry. But
if you think about it, there's the one thing that Goldust had. He was put into a feud right away.
Yeah.
He was able to sink, his character was able to sink his teeth into something with Razor Ramon right away. That was his first real feud. He did the squash matches, but at the same time was building a feud. They haven't built Tensai into with anything.
Right, and he had a hell of a feud with Taker, too. Remember that gold casket?
Yeah, that was kind of awesome. I mean,
with the big gold dust star in the front?
They're starting to put Tensai in a feud, at least, or they're starting to put him in a story with at least Laurinaitis. He's a stooge for Laurinaitis. We'll see where they go from there. But again, it's just, it's hard to tell right now because they should have done this way earlier than what they actually have.
Right.
Right.
And there's one thing, squash matches work to get a person over, but then let them have squash matches, but also give them a feud to build into it. You make the, what are they doing with Ryback? They make him as a dominant person. At the same time, he should be eventually getting into a feud with somebody where they'll put him to a challenge. And then when he beats him, okay, he looks strong. He's beating these jobbers in quick matches, but he also dominated this person, and that's how you build somebody. They're just feeding jobber after jobber after jobber to him, and it's not leading anywhere.
Well, look at the kind of, and I use the word opponents very loosely, but look at the kind of opponents that Ryback has had. Every single opponent that Ryback has ever had looked like a prepubescent child. They never have any muscles. They're always, most of the time, they're pasty white. They have no mic abilities. I mean, these are wrestlers who are still very new in their career and are basically mice feeding the python. I mean, there is nothing there. So how good does Ryback really look? He looks horrible. And I would suggest the same thing of Tensai. He looks like crap.
At least Tensai, they're feeding him actual roster people, whereas Ryback, they're going out and they're finding local guys and they're bringing them in and they're feeding them to him. Ryback, they won't even give him enough time of day to feed him actual physical roster members. They're finding local people, bringing them in so he can beat somebody up.
Wait till Friday. He gets the biggest name on the roster Friday.
Who does he get?
He's Slater.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wendy?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, at least he's getting actual roster members now. But, you know, Tensai I was interested in the gimmick just to see how they did it, and I look at it, and I could see what it could be, and it's kind of frustrating that they're not going to really do much more with it than what they've done. I mean, it's okay, we gave you this gimmick, we gave you this really kind of hokey-looking gimmick, and you gotta go out there and get it over. Granted, they did the same thing to Brodus Clay, and I think they applied the same formula, is, okay, we're gonna come up with a really hokey, shitty gimmick for you, we're gonna give it to you, and it's up to you to get it over.
Yeah.
And Brodus Clay has, to his credit, has gotten that shit over.
Yes.
And he did it in this pretty much the same fashion, where he wasn't really embroiled in a feud with anybody, he was given squash matches, and he wasn't given any mic time. And Brodus Clay got that shit over. They did the same exact thing with Matt Bloom and Lord Tensai, and it's not working.
Because
and I don't think they get
that gimmick.
Yeah,
well, I don't think there's nothing there for Matt Bloom to sell. The whole gimmick is, I was a professional wrestler that went to Japan, did well, and came back. That's the entirety of the gimmick.
Well, it's...
Go ahead.
If they would do it just a little bit differently and they wouldn't make it so hokey, I think part of it that kills me is just the whole costume. The fact that he comes out in the robe and the helmet and the little surgical mask that he rips off. I mean, it's just the whole initial presentation of it. It's, you sit there and you look at it and you're like, what? I mean, it would be fine. I guess the kimono would be okay, but the helmet and the mask, it's just like, okay, I get you. You know, for the first time, I get it. Okay, you want to do a big reveal, you want to show him, fine, great. Afterwards, it looks really hokey and really kind of silly and stupid, because modern day Japan, when you think of it, you don't necessarily think of, you know, shoguns and samurais and that kind of thing, because that's not what modern day Japan is. There's a definite, deep, rich cultural history there, but, you know, that stuff isn't running rampant. It's not like people are chasing each other down the street with swords.
Personally, if I could make any changes to the Lord Tensai gimmick, I would stick to the part about embracing the Japanese culture, but I would make them stop having him try to be Asian. He is, because if you're trying to put him over as a heel, he is a white American male that went over to Japan and squashed all the little Japanese wrestlers, because Japanese people are traditionally short. I hate to be stereotypical, but I'm sorry, they're short. Put a little bit of the Damien Sandow in there. He went over there and beat everyone in the country, and now he's back over here because he's moved on. There was no competition for him over there, so he came back over here.
Yeah, do the I'm better than you gimmick, because...
Right.
Right, you know, put him on the mic and say, I went over to Japan, I became this big name, there's nobody here that's worth my time, blah, 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 and then he just starts squashing people until you eventually have somebody come out and say, oh, well, you know what, fuck you. And
that would be Yoshitatsu.
That would be Yoshitatsu. They actually could have done something with Yoshitatsu and Lord Tensai, and they didn't do shit with it.
Actually, that's the sad part, they did. But nobody saw it.
And yeah, nobody saw it.
Yoshitatsu actually tried to start a tweet or something that he was offended by the fact that he was using the name Lord Tensai, and WWE, seriously, they made him take all that shit off Twitter.
Speaking of Twitter, here's a positive for Lindsay about Lord Tensai and the Trunks of Doom. Lord Tensai, Giant Bernard, Albert, Adrian, whatever you want to call him, is reached out to DDP for some DDP yoga.
Thank you, God.
And we do have a bit more to talk about in the realm of gold dust, but I believe we should go to break.
Yes.
We should, because we're going to have like a Chic Tweet and a Foreplay coming up next.
Right. So this is Lindsay and Rock and Jackie, and this is The Rack on Wild Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Tired of the same old view of Monday Night Wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night. Just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hello out there, this is the very boring Jay Lethal, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Listen up, turn it up and rock it out.
welcome back, everyone, to the rack at wildtalkradio.com. I am Jackie Feist, and I am joined by my producer, Sir Rockin, and Lindsay Ward.
Oh, I say he's the producer. I'm just, you know, Lindsay Ward.
Well, yeah, he's the producer, and you're Lindsay Ward.
No, but no, you see, this is where you got it wrong. She's the lovely and talented co-host of the rack, Lindsay Ward.
See?
Okay, and yeah, this is the rack, and we're talking about stuff.
You know,
yes, that's my wonderful host abilities there. We're talking about stuff. And we were talking about Goldust earlier, and so just to bring him back into the conversation, it would seem that Goldust has been fired from the WWE. Lindsay, what happened?
He got fired. I mean, that's what I saw. I mean, I can't talk. My brain doesn't want to function. But basically, the story is that Goldust, Dustin Reynolds, whatever you want to call him, basically, as a producer, authorized, I guess, a dangerous move in a tag match on SmackDown a couple weeks ago. And that pissed somebody off backstage, and so they were like, yeah, fuck you, you're gone.
Right.
Now, the strange part is we've not heard anything yet.
Well, we've heard a little about the backstage thing. He produced a match, and it didn't go over so well, the finish.
Well, there's whenever anyone's let go, there's always the WWE has come to terms with the release of so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to publicly announce that one.
Oh, okay. Well, which is unfortunate because Goldust, I always really liked Goldust. I liked the fact that they actually dared to do something different with him, and he sold it like no one has ever sold it. And I think he was a trailblazer to what eventually became the Attitude Era. Do whatever the hell you want and screw everyone else. So, I'm disappointed. Of course, he's not been on TV in 10,000 years, too, but...
Well, yeah, he injured his shoulder, I think, sometime last year, beginning of last year, maybe, and that's what led to him being, you know, obviously taken off TV, and then they made him a producer, because I don't think he ever was cleared to wrestle after that. I could be wrong, though.
The last time I remember him being active on TV, because they did bring him back for the little thing that never really panned out with his brother, but the last time I remember seeing him active in any kind of storyline was they brought him back and he feuded with Ted DiBiase over his dad's belt. This is when he was still with Maurice, and then he was involved with the storyline with Oksana on NXT, and then that was it. So I guess, you know, he had been off TV for some time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. No more gold dust for us. Now, so I'll ask you two, because I don't watch TNA, what is the likelihood you think that he'll show up back down there?
Oh, zero.
0.0.
Is this likely to be a permanent firing, or is this going to be one of those things where he'll be back, like, next week?
He's going to be taking indie dates. I have a hunch. My sources tell me he's working indie dates.
Okay. Well, that works.
If he comes back to WWE, I would give it at least a year just to let the heat die down. I mean, obviously he was fired for a reason, whether he was the scapegoat or whether he was, actually legitimately did something stupid that could have cost somebody, you know, their career or their life or something, then obviously, yeah, that needs to be taken into consideration. And God damn it, my internet cord just locked up. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be back next week. It may take a year, year and a half for them to bring him back. And also it depends on where Dusty Rhodes ends up too, because Dustin tends to follow Dusty wherever he goes.
Yeah. Well, Dusty's under a legend contract, right?
Yeah, and he helps out with FCW, I think. I think he might even be booking FCW. I know he's involved with FCW. At this point... Goldust, Dusty Rhodes, whatever you want to call him, he doesn't need to go back to TNA, and honestly, he wasn't, he was the agent for the Divas in WWE, so if he's done well with his money and how long he's been in the business, being off the road now, probably not the worst thing in the world, where he can capitalize on some indie dates and make some dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fair enough. Let's see.
Now, if he would stop being a dick on Twitter, we would all be happy.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm not following you anymore. Okay, so moving on to a few other things we're going to talk about, just to blow off a little stream. Lindsay and I are pissed because Kane was not on TV at all this week.
What the fuck?
Fuck you, WWE. How could you do this? How could you not put one of your most senior people on WWE? I mean, the dude's been there for almost 20 years. And fucking, they gotta put him on TV because I wanted there, goddammit. That's why. Which kind of makes me wonder, this is my concern. The fact that he's off TV, but wrestling in dark matches, fuck you, WWE again. Do they not have anything for him?
Doesn't seem like it.
Is this gonna be something that he's not gonna be on TV for a long time?
I don't think it's something he's going to be on TV for off TV for a long time. I think they kind of sort of shot themselves in the foot, and this could maybe lead to a later topic if we want to talk about it. But, you know, as far as coming out of Extreme Rules, they ended the three big storylines, or the bigger storylines coming out of WrestleMania, they ended them at Extreme Rules, and now they're moving on to fresh storylines with only 3 weeks to really do a build. So, you know, it just seems like they don't have anything for anyone right now, and they're just trying in that transition period where they're trying to come up with new feuds, and they may not have anything for Kane. And it's, we were talking about it, I think, either last night in show prep or after the Raw post show, where Kane has seemed to transition into that position of Mr. Reliable, the fallback guy. He's always there when they need him. Kind of thing, where mm-hmm. it's, if they don't have someone to feud with, it's, oh, throw them in a storyline with Kane, and it's fine.
Right.
Which is not a bad position to have, to be the, you know, basically the alternate for someone to feud with, especially for guys coming up.
Yeah. And for someone, and honestly, for someone of his age, to have that kind of security in the WWE is wonderful.
Right, so I wouldn't worry about Kane. He'll be fine. You'll get him on your TV set sooner rather than later, maybe.
Well, as long as he's here in El Paso, I'm happy.
Yeah, coming out of Over the Limit, I'm sure they'll do something with him. It's just right now, I don't think they really have anything for anyone, and they're just trying to find their ass from the hole in the ground as far as their storylines go. So it's, they're trying to set their major storylines that are going to take them into the summer and get those going, and then once they get those going, then they'll worry about everybody else.
So don't be scared. He'll be back.
Well, as long as he survives, because you know that, like, when he comes to El Paso, you know that I'm going to be waiting for him, like, in the bushes, and I'm going to come swing out of the bushes and grab hold and never let go. So as long as he's there for that, I'm good.
I'm going to get a phone call from the police, aren't I?
Yeah, you are, because I think at this point, I think we need some cheeky.
I think we do need some cheeky.
I think it's time for a little bit of the chic tweet of the week.
It's time for well, you don't want to have sex with you. I'm the most handsome boy that's been made in the world, and you don't want to have sex with me. Well, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna wash your ass, and then you're gonna be haunted.
I still say the Sheik does not know some of the women I know if he thinks he's gonna fuck someone's ass and they're gonna be humble. But that's just me.
I think he's more referring to men, but...
Okay. So, I have mine ready. Do you guys have yours ready?
Yeah, but go first.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is actually a Sheik tweet that requires some follow-up. Sheik is asking for some advice. So definitely send him a tweet at the underscore Iron Sheik, I think that's what it is, and tell him. Because he wants to know, Sheiky Baby wants to know, does he shave the mustache, yes or hell no? Tell me.
No!
So no matter, so send the Iron Sheik a tweet and let him know what you think. Should he shave his mustache? And that's my Sheik tweet for the week. And neither of you are ready, are you?
I'm running.
No, I'm running.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Lindsay?
For the Mother's Day, I hope the Chris Brown get fucked by the O.J. Simpson worse than the Mel Gibson.
And Rock?
I'm looking at two of them. I'll just read the one.
Just read both of them. It's cool.
All right. Me and the Brutus Clay, I teach him how to dance and make him humble with my agents. And the other one, don't fuck with the Brock Lesnar. He not like the Hawk, the homomania piece of shit. Wow.
Yeah, so which leads to a question. I was reading over his tweets yesterday and today looking for a good one. And he's talking about these agents. Who are these agents?
I don't know.
Apparently the Iron Sheik now has agents.
Omega has secretaries and stuff. I don't know. She can have agents? I don't.
He has secretaries?
I don't know. He's a secretary.
There's no plural. It's one. That's it. I don't share him with anybody. Fuck you bitches.
I guess he's, you know, the people who book him to do gigs and stuff, I would think.
So Lindsay is a secretary and a nurse?
I guess.
I dress up as a nurse for cranky asshole. Get some harder faster.
Who's now following Mace on Twitter? Mace is scared.
Don't be scared, Mace. Cranky asshole is awesome.
Okay, so now we'll let Lindsay choose. Lindsay, what do you want to do next? Do you want to do foreplay or you want to do the squee of the week?
Let's do some foreplay.
Okay. A little bit of foreplay here on the rack.
Ladies, it's time for you to slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
As now we get in the mood for some hot, steamy, and oh so excited.
Come on, baby, give it to me, yes, yes, yes.
Foreplay.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Live on the rack.
Shall we shag now, or shall we shag later? Where am I?
Foreplay.
Rock's favorite part of the show.
Jackie, we'll start with you.
Okay.
What is the worst finishing move of all the times?
As much as I love him, the worst finishing move ever is the Cobra.
Really? The Cobra?
Yes. I don't get the Cobra.
It's a hyped up finger poke of doom.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't like it.
Okay. Lindsay, who do you consider to be the greatest high flyer of all time?
Edge.
Explain.
I can't. I'm tired. He's the only one that pops to mind. And I'm not saying the Hardys, goddammit. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, Jackie, who is the worst superhero ever?
Oh, God. The worst superhero ever. Oh man, that's a good one. I don't know all that many superheroes, to be honest. Just to pick on somebody and they'll know who they are, I'm gonna say Thor. Just because I know someone's gonna get mad.
Okay.
I mean that gay hammer.
Out of it, way, Avengers is awesome.
Yeah, if you have not seen Avengers and you want to see Avengers, go fucking see Avengers. It's, yeah.
Speaking of Avengers, Lindsay.
Hmm.
Cast members of the Wild Talk Radio Network as part of the Avengers.
Okay. I'm trying to think here, alright? Jackie is Maria Hill. Rock is Nick Fury.
I gotta look up Maria Hill.
Omega is Tony Stark.
Okay.
Mace. I'm gonna say, let's see. Mace would be the Hulk. Tim would be Coulson. Trying to think of who could be Thor and who could be...
It would be Omega that would build a flying suit.
Right? And I don't know who would be Thor or Captain America. Alan would probably be Captain America just because of how by the book he is. Love you, Alan. And Thor. Any, Scott Berry.
There you go. I was going to say, anyone from Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show you can throw in there? So there you go. That was, you know, foreplay. And see, Tim, even though you're not listening, how easy it is to, you know, if you get a question, you can just answer the question.
You were desperate for questions this week, weren't you?
I did it like an hour and a half before the show.
It shows.
It happened. I, you know, doing things. Just being productive today, so, eh.
Well, I think next we're going to do the WWE Divas a big favor and give them more airtime on our show than they get on their own show. Because we do have a few things as it relates to the Divas that we want to talk about. One of them being that the Divas title, the Tramp Stamp Belt, the Butterfly Belt, whatever you want to call it, is actually being defended or even being shown on TV more often with the return of Layla.
She's been on television.
Right. And we've discussed a lot the fact that Beth would go literally months, a whole month, without defending that thing on TV. And
not even defending, appearing on television.
Right. And I would suggest that when she was appearing, in one way or another, she was being buried. As the champion, she was playing second fiddle with someone like Eve. She was losing to the likes of Maria fucking What's-Her-Face at WrestleMania. It would have almost been better if she had not been on TV. And I really don't understand where WWE was going with that. I don't know who she pissed off. But with
she
the return
up
of
CM Punk,
basically. But with the return of Layla, the belt is actually getting some play on television. So, I guess my question at this point would be, how long do you think this is going to last? And do we think that Beth is going to get her title back at Over the Limit?
That's an interesting question. I'm tempted to say no.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'd have to say potentially no. Just because of... Just because it's a crap throwaway pay-per-view and they aren't doing shit with it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And also, one other thing is I'm not exactly sure. I have to give Eve her due. Even though she came in at the same time as Kelly Kelly, did the same stupid lame-ass gimmick as Kelly Kelly, I really like Eve because I feel like at least she can go. So I don't have a problem with her having the title.
Layla.
Oh, Layla. Sorry. But it's not that the title's in bad hands. I'm a mark for Beth Phoenix. That's my thing. So as long as Beth is not out there being the dominant diva that I believe she should be, I'm always going to be disappointed. But Layla is doing a really good job. I mean, at least getting the belt out there and being on TV.
Right. And there's an elephant in the room, and it's named Karma.
Right. And see, that's something else that we were going to talk about, was the possible return of karma. Now, there was, now when the Bella Twins left the WWE even had to acknowledge on air through Eve the fact that everybody was thinking that it was going to be Karma that was going to come back and take the title off of whichever Bella it was that had it.
Nikki.
And if you think back, it's perfectly logical that one would think that. Granted, we do not know what Karma's current mindset is with the personal tragedy that she suffered, but it was Karma it was the Bella Twins that Karma was going to feud with the way it was built when she comes back. She even told them. They were making fun of her and they were making for being fat and her pregnancy and everything. I hope you are here when I come back.
There was a built-in storyline that they never capitalized on. They had it written for them. And again, when WWE has a storyline written for them, they don't use it.
Well, in WWE's defense, they didn't... I mean, no one expected what was going to happen.
No, I'm just saying, the return storyline, they had it written for them. It's like, same with Brock Lesnar. They had a hand... They were given a storyline, and they WWE'd it up. Just like this one, they WWE'd it up. They had, okay, Karma said she'll come back and take out the Bell Twins. The Bell Twins are leaving. She seems like she's ready to come back. And they don't do it.
Right. And it could have very well. When it wasn't Karma, and if for anyone who didn't see it, what I mean when I say WWE even acknowledged that everyone thought that it was going to be Karma that was going to come back, was that during the backstage scene with Eve and the Bella Twins, when they were bad-mouthing Beth Phoenix, Eve comes up and says something to them about there's going to be a mystery opponent, and Eve says, and it's not Karma.
Right.
Much to the relief of the Bella Twins.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed it was not Karma, but I just feel like I can't, if she honestly wasn't ready to come back, I can't judge her.
Right.
So.
But the way she talks on Twitter, it sounds like she's ready to come back.
I have to wonder if that wasn't a change that they made, that it got out that they put the belt on Nikki, and then it got out on Twitter, or got out on the dirt sheets, that the storyline was that was going to be the return for Karma, and it got out. And WWE freaked the fuck out and was like, oh no, we can't have that getting out. We don't want to do that. So we're going to do this instead.
Right.
And
that's a very good point.
It was great to see Layla back, but at the same time, it's like, really?
Yeah. I mean, and personally, I don't think that they should, and I'll use the word waste, I don't think they should waste Karma's return on the pay-per-view, because I gotta agree with Lindsay, the pay-per-view's not really being built that well. There's not a whole lot. I mean, the only match they've really, really pushed is the match with Laurinaitis and Cena, and I think they announced a tag team title match with Kofi and R-Truth against Swagger and Ziggler. But that's about it, I think. Is there another match between Show and Cody Rhodes?
No, you got the world title, the WWE title, the Laurinaitis thing. And
oh, that's right, the world title.
The tag title says... And the Divas match. They have 5 matches announced, so.
And who's Layla facing in the Divas? Oh, Beth. That's right. Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, this pay-per-view is really not being built, which is something we want to talk about. But Lindsay also had something she wanted to say about Eve, since we're talking about the Divas.
Who the hell died and made her queen? I mean, seriously, it's... I get what they're trying to do with her as far as put her over as a heel, and I expressed these concerns and rants a little bit on Monday, but she's an administrative assistant. Who the fuck gives an administrative assistant the ability to, one, threaten talent, and to fire talent? I mean, I'm sorry. If I was the Big Show... And I understand this is storyline, and I understand that this is logic, and logic does not apply in wrestling. I totally understand all of this. However, I'm a very logical person, so I can't just switch it off. But all Big Show had to say would be like, all right, fine, let's go take this up with John Laurinaitis. That's all he had to do. I mean, the fact that, yeah, it's just, if they make Big Show Eve's bitch, we're going to have issues.
Yeah.
We are totally going to have issues.
I kind of feel like at this point in his career, and big ups to Big Show for willing to play Eve's bitch in a storyline that goes to show there's not a whole lot of ego there. But seriously, if you kind of look at the situation for what it is, all Big Show would have had to say, fine, there's other wrestling companies, I'm going elsewhere. And the WWE would have taken a pretty big loss if they would have lost him. And that would have put her in a position where, oh shit, you know, but I don't like the way they're doing this. If there was really no better way to do this, then yeah, the gimmick's a fail. And the glasses are kind of fucking annoying, too.
Yeah, that's kind of my other complaint is, I understand you're trying to have her dress sexy-ish, but walking around the way she does with your boobs hanging out and your skirt hiked up to your crotch is not the way most executive assistants dress.
Trust me, I am one. They don't.
Yeah, you can dress her and do the whole sexy secretary look without making her look like a slut. I mean, really, seriously, there is a very fine line between sexy and slutty, and the divas don't know it, and they often cross it. And, yeah, I have a really hard time buying her in this executive administrator role.
Yeah.
Just based on the way that they have presented her. I understand they're trying to get her over as a heel. That's great. They're doing something different with her. That's great. I have an issue with the presentation of her. You know, if you want me to take her seriously, if you want me to believe that she is actually John Laurinaitis' executive assistant, then have her dress like it. Have her, you know, she's already kind of acting like it, but have her go full tilt. We don't need to see everything that she's got. We've already seen it.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah. I've seen about as much of Eve as I want to see on every imaginative level. And yeah, I really do not need to see any more of her. Okay. So I've saved what I think you guys would think to be the best for last. We have two stories as it relates to CM. Actually, one story and one squee. As it relates to CM Punk, just to show how over CM Punk is here at the Wild Talk Radio Network, the Kane Squee of the Week has been preempted for a CM Punk Squee of the Week.
It has.
No offense to Kane, but CM Punk kind of trumped you with something he did this week, so yeah.
So before we go into the story about Punk, let's have our CM Punk Squee of the Week. And Lindsay, what is this, since this was your squeak?
This is CM Punk singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which is terribly awesome, at this week's, I think it was what day was it? Tuesday? Wednesday? Tuesday?
Yes.
Tuesday's Cub game against Atlanta, which, by the way, the Braves won. Just saying.
Well, the irony of this is while you're listening to Punk sing this, you kind of have to keep in mind, just for the sake of the lulls, that while Punk is singing this song, there's something on the screen that says that this is brought to you by Captain Morgan's.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
where is Chris Jericho when you need him?
Running this back in the production truck, apparently.
Yes. So here's Take Me Out to the Ball Game by CM Punk.
Out in the seventh inning stretch today. All right, Chicago, let me hear you. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I get back for its root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old
And the man with...
CM Punk, I love you, but don't quit your day job.
Yeah, he's the most tone-deaf fucker you will ever meet in your life, but it's... He was having such a good time, and you could tell... Like, Rock sent me the whole appearance. It's out there, I think, on YouTube, where he was literally squeeing the entire time. I mean, he was just being a complete and total fanboy, and that's why it was adorable. Because it's like, oh my god. You're just, they let him in the booth, and he was literally marking out.
Yeah, he did commentary.
He did commentary. He didn't wear anybody's blazer, but he got to do commentary.
Right. We normally don't do this, but I have to follow up the CM Punk squeak, because you say he's tone deaf. Well, take a listen to this one.
Ozzy Osbourne!
Oh god, Brock.
Alright, Chicago! Hey, I want to hear a real, real crazy crowd start singing with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? I can't hear you!
It's gonna be cool.
Are you ready? One, two, three. Let's go out to the party. Go out to the room. Take me in the room and lead us into. I don't remember what I had to do. Go out to the party.
The difference between that and CM Punk is, one, CM Punk knows the song, and two, he was sober.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne is the music equivalent of... he's one of those that, honestly, no offense, and I don't want his wife coming to find me to kick my ass, because she would, but he's not the best singer in the world. He's a stage performer more than he is a singer. And that was just a case of being a little drunk and slurring your words and not knowing the words. That was just awful, though.
You said, oh, CM Punk's tone deaf, and I just had to find that and go, no, no, Ozzy was...
CM Punk is just not as tone deaf as that guy.
Right. So, I love Ozzy, but yeah.
So, we had a Punk kind of... I don't know what I was more shocked by. The fact that Punk actually did this or the fact that he apologized for it. But if you are not one who's big on the news, the state of North Carolina decided to admit one fortunate bill. Stupid to pass. We banned Civil Union, North Carolina. Punk is on Twitter that whole day out being very pro marriage equality and thinking that people should be able to marry. And some idiot, who I'm not going to even justify by giving his Twitter handle, but some idiot did a tweet directed to CM Punk, and it said that man was made for woman and that he was made sick just at the thought of, I think he called him homos or fags or something stupid like that. And Punk responded with quoting this idiot and said, you should kill yourself. And the minute that this happened, people started jumping him as far as, you know, the Be a Star campaign. Someone tweeted to him, telling someone to kill themselves, be a star. How about creating a positive change instead of civil unrest? And Punk came back with, hey, moron, don't try to hide behind the Be a Star campaign. I am a star. I'm fighting bigots here. Zero tolerance. And then people started in on him. And he pretty much kept his ground on that, which I was proud of him for, because I agree with him. I think that person was a moron. And I think if there were less people like that guy in the world would be a much better place. And then this happened on Monday, so then there was Monday Night Raw, and at the end of Monday Night Raw, CM Punk actually came out on Twitter and apologized to the guy he said to kill himself, which Punk doesn't do that very often.
Well, he doesn't do that very often, but when he makes statements like that and he gets into arguments, he tends to, especially seeing as he's WWE champion right now. And yeah, Be a Star campaign, I'm sure the company saw that, because you know they monitor the tweets. So I'm sure the company saw that. I'm sure there was pressure put on CM Punk to apologize and put out a statement basically saying, no, I didn't mean this. Because if the guy actually does it, they're liable for it.
Yeah, which is unfortunate that in this day and age, people are so subject to celebrities and celebrity culture that if someone says, because if you're halfway intelligent and if you have a brain and a mind of your own, you know that Punk was not literally telling this person to go shoot themselves or stab themselves. He was responding to the guy's comment. But people are so, I mean, number one, people are so subject to peer pressure and people are so entranced by celebrities that this guy, you know, if he went out and killed himself, Punk would have been held responsible. So I got to agree. I wouldn't even be surprised if somebody wrote that apology for him.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like him going back and reading it. I mean, I'm sure it's something that they just gave to him and said, okay, go put this out on Twitter. Because, you know, again, they pushed the Be A Star campaign pretty heavily. Which, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, that it's a mistake for them to do that, but they do it anyway. And, yeah, you know, it is what it is, unfortunately. Especially, I mean, because to have your champion go out there and say that, that's kind of bad.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, the whole situation was unfortunate, but that's kind of one reason, knowing Punk to be that way, because I have to admit, I can be that way. I can be a bit, you know, jump shot reactionary, where someone's going to say something like that to offend me, and I'm just going to say the first word out of my mouth in response, and not necessarily take the time to think about the consequences of what I say. And so I just have to feel for CM Punk, because I'm exactly the same way. And I'm actually also, I mean, a very strong supporter of marriage equality. When I was in college, when I was doing all of my core courses, every paper I ever had to write for all of my English classes, I wrote about being a supporter of marriage equality. I mean, it's just something I feel very strongly about. I feel like if they can tell, you know, people who are homosexual they can't marry because they don't like you, what are they going to try to take from me because they don't like me, you know? So I'm very sympathetic to Punk on that, and I imagine that hurt his ego that he even had to apologize.
Well, you know, it's, again, when that came out, that was a pretty strong issue, and I'd just like to put out there that, you know, I support marriage equality as well. I'm more surprised when that got announced that everybody was so shocked, especially considering the fact that it was in North Carolina. I mean, come on, people, really? Really? You're shocked North Carolina voted down gay marriage and civil union? I mean, really? Yeah. But, that whole issue is heated. And, you know, my whole thing is people believe what they believe. And I do not support people that, you know, think that gay marriage is wrong and it's against God and all that thing, but they believe it. And so, therefore, I can't come out, you know, I can't come out against them, basically. But I don't have to support them either.
Right.
But I have to at least respect their opinion and say, okay, that's what you believe. I respect what you believe, but I don't support you on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that day was pretty heated. I understand why Punk was coming out, because Punk was not the only celebrity that was coming out on that.
Right.
There were quite a few. Patrick Harris especially was coming out against it, pretty heavily. But he obviously didn't tell anybody to go kill himself.
At least on Twitter.
At least on Twitter, yes. So I think telling someone to go kill themselves was a little strong, but that's CM Punk. He's very blunt. He's very upfront. He doesn't sugarcoat things.
Right.
So I would have to agree that, yeah, that probably was not an apology written by him. It was something that was probably given to him by the company that said, go put this out on your Twitter and go do it right now.
Right.
And
yeah, I agree.
Just deal with it. But yeah, it's unfortunate that he had to do that, but I understand why he did. Because he's actually done that before, where he's told people that and he's later come back and apologized.
Well, the funny thing is the way that I found out about it was I noticed someone, I think it was Wrestle News Source, posted Twitter, Punk tells fan to kill himself on Twitter. And I was like, what? And then I went and found the post and I saw what had been said. And I go around and I look at, I go through CM Punk's tweets and I find that tweet, and the tweet had been done literally 5 minutes previously. So.
Oh yeah.
There was no, they caught it very quickly.
There are people out there that they sit there and they watch the wrestlers' Twitters and they watch for what they say and what they do. I mean, CM Punk knows this because he will rib the dirt sheets constantly. Monday night he was going around saying, I have a piece of parsley stuck in my teeth. I expect to see this on a dirt sheet.
Yeah.
So he knows that his Twitter is watched. He knows that people are going to pick up on what he says. So when he makes an inflammatory comment like, go kill yourself, he knows that's going to get picked up.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a blessing for him, and that's also a curse because, you know, depending on what he says, it can be taken out of context, it can come against him, or it can go for him. And in this case, unfortunately, it went against him.
Well, I was happy just ultimately looking at the whole situation. I mean, number one, even though I certainly would not have expressed my beliefs in the way that Punk did in that one case, I was happy to hear, you know, that he takes that position. It really says a lot about who Punk is as a person, because I've heard some crap about him taking some ribbing in the back or taking some crap that he thinks he's better than everyone because of the whole straight edge thing. And so I was just happy to see that he has this opinion. And I mean, he's a very hot-headed person, and he said something stupid, and oh my God, if we were gonna throw a big old tantrum every time a wrestler said something stupid, we would have nothing else to do in our lives. So it happened, and it's past now, and hopefully this is something that will go away.
We would be constantly freaking out about Kevin Nash's Twitter.
I know.
Just saying, dude.
Yeah, Nash is really good about saying weird stuff, which we would need a whole other show to talk about just the stupid stuff Kevin Nash has said on his Twitter, but I don't think we have that much time left in this millennium, because if you guys remember, in December it's going to be the end of the world. So we just don't have that much time.
Although I would like to say, dude, you're not good enough for too good for the Hall of Fame. Thinking that you're better than the Hall of Fame, yeah, of yours.
So yeah, I think that covers it.
Yeah, I think we have covered the big wrestling news of the week.
Which was nothing.
It was,
John Cena's getting divorced. That was it.
That saved the
show. Yeah, John Cena's getting divorced. And that broke today. And when I saw that, it's like, oh, thank you, God. We have something to talk about.
CM Punk divorced. John Cena divorced. No Kane. And that's about it.
By the way, apparently the petition for divorce is actually out online. You can find it. Somebody's got it up on their Tumblr. And he filed that shit back on May 1st.
Oh, my God. Are you seriously?
I am serious. Hold on, let me see if I can find it, and I will send it to you. But yeah, well, I'll look for that, and we can go off air, but...
Okay. But, so that has been the rack for this week, and, well, since Lindsay's clicking through links, plug your stuff.
Who, me?
Yes, you're Lindsay.
I'm Lindsay? Are we sure? Are we positive?
We are.
No, she's not just Lindsay, she's the excellent co-host of the rack. It's Lindsay Ward!
There you go. Just kiss my ass just a little bit more. You can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LinsWard. And you can follow the show at WTR_Rack.
Okay. And I guess since Rock has the big diatribe, I will plug my stuff next. You can find me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. At this point in time, I am still trying to decide if there is going to be a bi-monthly episode of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio that we do at thehistoryofwwe.com, because of the simple fact that there's not a whole lot going on right now. But if we do decide to do one, you can find it there.
If you really want one, it's called Take This Show and Just Say It's Triple Talk Wrestling Radio.
I know, dude.
Just cut out all the plugs for the rack and just call this Triple Wild Talk Wrestling.
Well, it's nothing against Graham or the history of WWE. I'm not blowing off Triple Talk. It's that there's nothing going on.
But Jackie, you're doing a show next week. It's okay. There's a pay-per-view. Remember, you can cover it all next week. Don't
oh, that's right. Okay. So, yeah. So, yeah. So, if we do
fret.
One, whatever, follow us over. Go find us over at thehistoryofwwe.com. They've opened up their stuff to TNA for some reason and to other wrestling organizations. So, there's a whole lot of stuff there. Definitely go check that out. And every Friday, I write a column for Phil Strum at Under the Ring for the Poughkeepsie Journal called Jackie's SmackDown Lowdown, which you can find at blogs.poughkeepsiejournal.com/underthering. And I'm on a whole bunch of shows on this network, but we're going to let Rock tell you about that.
One week, I should just let the two of you do the plugs and see how far we get.
We wouldn't get very far.
I know the names. I don't know the times.
We're Thursday, so Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Subway, and whoever else we wrangle on. It's the weird, the wacky, it's the unusual. It's CB Radio. You never know what we'll talk about next. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern this Sunday night, as we cover TNA's Sacrifice pay-per-view featuring the main event of Rob Van Dam and Bobby Roode in a ladder match, apparently. And so much more, it's Sacrifice, and we're going to sacrifice 3 hours to watch the pay-per-view, so sacrifice 2 hours and listen to Wrestle Talk Radio as we conclude the WTR Great Debate. Monday night, it's the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, where we talk about Monday Night Raw, simple as that. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He has Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky on the program, boyfriend and girlfriend. On the show, so check it out. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Brian Blotte, Jed Schaefer, and the Cheapwood Paneling. So check them out. They'll give you all the opinions that you need to know from their perspective in wrestling and stuff like that. And then we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and Twitter.com/Canadian All Pro and find Canadian All Pro group on Facebook.
Yeah, and also, if you want to contribute to my bail money fund, the show's in July, so we need to get started on it, send all PayPal monies to, what is it, media@wildtalkradio.com?
Click on the little donate button on the site.
Yeah, because he's going to be there, and so we need to get the bail money ready. Just saying.
We need the bail money, or then maybe we'll consider it ice cream fund. Who knows? We'll see what it is. Just, you know. On
that no, consider it bail money, or consider it get Lindsay to El Paso.
That too.
Then we're gonna need twice as much bail money.
Oh Christ, we're fucked. I'm gonna need to find us another goddamn sponsor. Anyway,
we
should wrap it up. We have like 30 seconds. Go.
Okay, so Lindsay, for Rock. This is Jackie saying thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.